It's time for the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now here's Ryan Wallace on the Golden Knights Radio Network.
Welcome into the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. The Golden Knights defeat the Vancouver Canucks 3-2. Vegas improves to 47-22-8, 102 points and a 5-point lead now over the Los Angeles Kings at the top of the Pacific Division. To help us break this one down, we go back to the radio booth, bringing the voice of the Golden Knights, Dan Duva. And you know what, Dan, when you look at this one, now 5 wins in a row on the road for the Vegas Golden Knights. What stood out to you about their performance in this game?
Yeah, they more or less picked up from where they left off last night. And parts of the lineup that have really been going have been the Karlsson-Smith-Olofsson line and the Watt-Kolesar-Pearson line. And they both generated goals today. Of course, Barbashev got the first one from the top line. They had their moments, but, you know, just the relentless shift-after-shift consistency is most noticeable right now from those two lines I just mentioned, centered by Karlsson and Watt. And I could probably say the same thing about last night's game and similar here today. And I think that you have players on both lines who are trying to ensure their spot in the lineup when everyone is healthy. And Hurdle's going to come back, and he's probably not going to go on either one of those lines. But Howden is probably coming off that line with Saad and Dorofeev. Where does he go? Does he go with Juan Kolesar? Does he go with Karlsson and Smith? And Olofsson is making a case to stay in. And I think at the moment, though Tanner Pearson has played very well, it's a different role that he plays compared to Victor Olofsson. It's pretty neat, Ryan, I think, just to see the competition level for these guys playing well. You know, the internal competition is strengthening the team. It's helping them get points at this stage of the season. Oh, and by the way, Aiden Hill was darn good. A handful of really impressive saves. Not as much volume, but really timely couple of saves. And I should note that the two times the puck went in, basically he was on his rear end. So when he's not on his rear end, he was perfect.
When you view it from that perspective with Aiden Hill, where it's not a high-volume type of game for Aiden, he's not inundated with a bunch of shots, but he's still making some quality saves with the lack of action. Does it make it more impressive, his ability to stay mentally checked into the game in those moments?
Yeah, I think so. Every game's a little bit different, and sometimes you're involved even if you're not making saves. The puck is in your zone. And sometimes there's not a lot of shots, but you're still under duress. Didn't seem like Aiden Hill was, you know, exhausted a ton of energy tonight. Not that it was an easy game. I'm not trying to say that. But, you know, you put the shots aside and the eye test will give you an indication of how hard, you know, how many calories did Aiden have to burn today. And it was not on the higher side of average. And that's okay. Sure, you want to be involved. Sometimes, you know, we've seen in the past if, you know, goaltender is not involved. You give up a bad one because you're sleepy, or you try to do something to get involved and you end up overplaying and you make a mistake. Aiden has now played so many games, those moments are a rarity. And it seems only to occur perhaps when he's getting, you know, too many minutes. You know, he may be a little tired, needs a day off, that sort of a thing, which would happen to everybody. I mean, the goalies are out there for 60 minutes. The skaters are out there, you know, 20 plus minutes for the higher end guys. So I'm on the whole, Ryan, I think that Aiden Hill has been through this so much now with the Golden Knights that he knows himself, knows the team in front of him, that he can handle whether it's a high volume night or a low volume night. More often than not, he is locked in from start to finish. Again, it's not 100% of the time, but you could really expect it on a night in, night out basis. He's not going to make too many mistakes.
Yeah, I wanted to circle back to Victor Olofsson because, you know, you're right on the money. Like, this is, as much as it is an internal competition, as much as it is trying to kind of secure your spot in the lineup when everyone's fully healthy, it's also an opportunity in front of Victor Olofsson to play in the playoffs for the first time. And I feel like you're getting a different gear, a different level, especially in his ability to win battles along the wall. And I think more than anything else, more than the shots on goal, over the last two games, it's been his compete level in the corners that has really jumped off of the ice to me.
I think that's right. And I think that it comes partly, Ryan, from just the excitement of clicking with other players. You know, he's played in different spots in the lineup this year. Of course, you know, William Karlsson missed 29 games. Riley Smith was not on the team until just, 16 games ago. And therefore, you know, there was not very much an opportunity for Olofsson to play with those guys at all until recently. And when, you know, you're on a new team, there's a lot to figure out, not only the style of play, the new city and teammates and everything, trying to figure out where you fit. I mean, you know, he had a spot on the power play early in the season. He gets hurt. Dorofeev gets hot. They needed Dorofeev to score, so they put him on the first power play. And Olofsson basically lost a spot. I mean, he had the power play goals lead on the team for a while. He still has six, which is third on the team. But, you know, Hurdle and Dorofeev are in double digits. Anyway, you get some traction there. And obviously, Olofsson missed time himself, but you're thinking about at this stage of the season, you have the playoffs in sight for the first time, and now where do I fit? And was a healthy scratch for a couple of games. But now all of a sudden, you realize that you're clicking with somebody, it's noticeable, and you have an identity, you have sort of a mission. You're not just out there kind of, I don't want to say going through the motions, but when you have, you know, other players that you can click with, I think it just spurs all of that, those other qualities that you discussed, Ryan. It just goes hand in hand, and he's getting better in one aspect, it's fueling another. He gets chemistry with Karlsson and Smith in one respect, and it, you know, it's helping him get power play chances. He's had 14 shots on goal in two games. Come on. So it's really neat to see. And that's what this organization does. It tends to, more often than not, get the best out of players who had not had the same success and opportunity elsewhere.
All right, Dan, last one for you. Hockey history happened earlier today. Alex Ovechkin passed Wayne Gretzky on the all-time goals list, 895 goals. Just when I think of that record, when I think of passing Wayne Gretzky for a goal-scoring record in any way, any capacity, I have a hard time wrapping my head around it. When you think about the accomplishment and what it means, what are you left with Alex Ovechkin and 895?
Well, just the, I would say, Ryan, the pride in our sport that Wayne Gretzky was there, and you know how well he has represented hockey over the decades, and his words to the crowd on Long Island today and to the hockey world, frankly. And Gary Bettman said it as well, how Alexander Ovechkin has represented the sport with such class. And, you know, Ovechkin lifted a pretty special trophy at T-Mobile Arena. That is a career highlight, I'm sure. And I'm sure, you know, he'll think about today as a special moment in his career. Put it right side by side with winning the Stanley Cup. Who knows? Maybe he'll get another one this year. But it's just a great pride in the sport. You know, just the, you know, Gretzky's wife to Ovechkin's wife, and, you know, Howe's wife to Gretzky's wife, like that. All of that sort of stuff is really neat. And, again, I've gone through it a few times today, but it was Ovechkin going past Gretzky, who held the record for 31 years, and Gordie Howe held his record for 31 years, having surpassed Rocket Richard in 1963, and then Gretzky broke it in 1994, and now here it's Ovechkin in 2025. I mean, just the history of it all is so special to witness something like that. Yeah, I mean, to me, as a kid, you grow up and you're aware of Wayne Gretzky, and he's just like a superhuman. Like, there are hockey players, and then there's Wayne Gretzky. It's like Babe Ruth. It's like Michael Jordan. I mean, they're just at another level. And so it's all that remarkable that our Gretzky record has fallen. There are many others that are not going to be broken, by the way. This one does. And it's all the more special because Gretzky can be there and be part of it. And I just proud moment for not only Ovechkin and for Gretzky, but for all of us who follow this great sport.
Well said, Dan. Great job tonight on the call. Take care tonight, and we will chat on Tuesday.
Thanks, Ryan. Good night.
That is the voice of the Golden Knights, Dan Duva, helping us break down a 3-2 victory for the Golden Knights over the Vancouver Canucks. Vegas improves to 47-22-8, 102 points on the year. Next in action Tuesday, 6:30 p.m. in Colorado against the Avalanche. We're back with more in a moment. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
The Golden Knights scored in the first period tonight, so make sure you have the McDonald's app downloaded to redeem your free French fries of any size at your local McDonald's tomorrow. It's the VGK postgame show. The Golden Knights defeat the Vancouver Canucks 3-2. Vegas improves to 47-22-8, 102 points on the year. 5 points up on the Los Angeles Kings. 9 points up right now on the Edmonton Oilers for the top spot in the Pacific Division. Next in action Tuesday, 6:30 p.m. puck drop in Colorado against the Avalanche. Vegas Golden Knights are 8-2-0 in their last 10 games and 14-5-2 since resuming play after the Four Nations faceoff. You want to talk about a team that has dialed in the results and dialed in their game for the stretch run with 6 games remaining for the Vegas Golden Knights. That's what they've done. They've been excellent since the bye week, the Four Nations face-off, however you want to classify that break in the schedule. It has been a run for the Golden Knights from that point forward, and they have not looked back. The post-game injury report is brought to you by UMC, the exclusive hospital of the Vegas Golden Knights. Tomáš Hertl missed his 7th game tonight for the Vegas Golden Knights. Is on the road trip, so we'll see if he's available, if he's an option for the Golden Knights on Tuesday when they take on the Colorado Avalanche. Outside of that, and Ilya Samsonov out with an upper body injury, day-to-day the classification on Samsonov. That's it in terms of injuries for the Golden Knights. So, by and large, relatively healthy outside of Tomáš Hertl. And as we talked about just a couple of moments ago with Dan Duva, when you think about Hertl coming back into the lineup, you know where he's going to go. He's going to go right back with Brandon Saad and Pavel Dorofeev. That line, it works because of all the lifting that Tomáš Hertl does and all the ways that he can impact the game, carrying pucks through the neutral zone, his ability to hold on to pucks down deep in the offensive zone. He's a driver. That line works. You know it's going back together. But then the question becomes, okay, when Hertl comes back into the lineup, who's coming out of the lineup for the Golden Knights? Victor Olofsson, in my estimation, has played himself into a permanent spot for now, with William Karlsson and Riley Smith. And it was evidenced by the game that he had again today. 14 shots over the last 2 games for Victor Olofsson. He was a man on a mission yesterday in Calgary, and that continued for him here today against the Vancouver Canucks in that he was all over the ice. Winning pucks, winning battles, winning races, high effort stuff from Victor Olofsson. And when you pair that with the playmaking of William Karlsson and you get to the front of the net, good things tend to happen. Good plays tend to materialize. And all you got to do in that moment, and it sounds so easy, but all you got to do in that moment is finish. And Olofsson was able to do that tonight. And in turn, the Golden Knights got a big 2 points. So that leads you to look at the fourth line, Brett Howden, what he's been able to do this year for the Golden Knights offensively. He's another center iceman in terms of he can take draws, win draws, gives you a different look, different wrinkle. My guess would be when Hertl's ready, Howden goes along with Waugh and Kolesar. Olofsson stays right where he is with Karlsson and Smith, and Hertl returns to center Saad and Dorofeev, but we'll cross that bridge once we get to it and the Golden Knights are fully healthy in terms of their skaters up front. Take a look at the highlights in this game. We go back to the first period, and the Canucks pushed really hard the first 4 minutes or so of that first period, and a scramble in front of Aiden Hill ended in a goal for Nils Höglander.
Besser on the near boards. Besser dishes to the slot. Another shot save. Rebound, they score! Oh, a bad scramble, not once, but twice, all around Aiden Hill's crease, and Vancouver finally converts.
Nils Höglander from Pew Suter and Brock Besser, 4:46 of the first period, made it 1-0 Vancouver, but the Golden Knights answered just under 4 minutes later as Mark Stone set up Ivan Barbashev in transition.
Barbashev cruising. He scores! The crossover from Barbashev, set up by Mark Stone. Vegas ties it 1-1 on Ivan Barbashev's 21st of the season.
Ivan Barbashev from Mark Stone, his 21st goal of the year, 8:36 of the first period, tied the game at 1. And then the Golden Knights took the lead 5 minutes later as Nick Waugh's rocket found the back of the net.
Entry on the right, Pearson for Waugh, fires save, rebound, it goes in! Lankinen made the save, Kolesar was closing, and the puck deflected back into the goal. Knights take a 2-1 lead with 6:45 to go in the first period.
13th goal of the year for Nick Waugh from Tanner Pearson and Keegan Kolesar. 13:15 of the first period made it 2-1 Vegas. The Golden Knights would take a one-goal lead into the second period, and the Canucks tied the game 8 minutes into the second when Atu Ratu made contact with Aiden Hill before putting the puck in on a rebound.
Feed goes right, though. Hronek shoots, save. Rebound in front. It's loose. They score! Vancouver ties it. Atu Ratu, 8 minutes into the second period. Knights were not as clean as they needed to be in getting control of the puck.
Atu Ratu from Philip Hronek and Kiefer Sherwood, 8:03 of the second period, tied the game at 2. The Golden Knights did challenge that play for goalie interference, but the call was upheld, and that put Vancouver on the power play, and Aiden Hill made a brilliant glove save on Pugh Suter.
Now DeBrusk, down to the goal line, quick stick, oh, and a great stop by Hill! DeBrusk in front, the glove save by Aiden.
Remarkable glove save there from Aiden Hill to keep the game tied, and we'd head to the third period. It was certainly a tight third period, but the Golden Knights carried the play in and dominated possession and were rewarded with the go-ahead goal from Victor Olofsson.
Carlson, who hasn't scored a goal since December, sweeps in right, centered, a shot, they score! Carlson with the dish to Olofsson. Vegas on top 3-2, 3:14 left in regulation.
14th goal of the year for Victor Olofsson from William Carlson and Alex Pietrangelo. 16:46 of the third period made it 3-2 Vegas, and all that was left in this game was the final call.
Howden wins it to Eichel, who tips it to the corner. Howden to the puck. Cruises behind. He's trying to center, but it's Hughes to pick it up. And the clock runs out. Hughes rifles it right onto his own bench. Look out. Clock runs out. Vegas wins 3-2. Victor Olofsson's 14th of the season proves to be the game winner.
3-2, the final. The Golden Knights defeat the Vancouver Canucks, improved to 47-22-8 for 102 points on the year. They are 5 wins in a row on the road, a 5-game win streak for the Golden Knights on the road, 8-2-0 in their last 10 games, 14-5-2 since the Four Nations faceoff. It has been a great run, a dominant run for the Golden Knights of late. They're next in action Tuesday, 6:30 p.m. puck drop in Colorado against the Avalanche as the road trip concludes for the Vegas Golden Knights. We're back with more in a moment. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
The VGK's Fan Appreciation Week festivities continue Tuesday with an official watch party at the Cosmopolitan Las Vegas. Come out for fun giveaways and prizes. It's the VGK postgame show. The Golden Knights defeat the Vancouver Canucks 3-2, 47-22-8, 102 points on the year for the Golden Knights. Top spot in the Pacific Division, increased their lead over the Los Angeles Kings to 5 points, 9 points over Edmonton, though the Oilers and the Kings with a game in hand. So we'll kind of see how things shake out after tomorrow when LA and Edmonton are both in action. But for right now, the Vegas Golden Knights, they've done their part. They won their game, and they've increased their lead at the top of the Pacific Division. Checking in on the text line, 702-876-1340. It's the text line. Instant reactions, that's where you go. We'll get to phone calls in just a couple of minutes. Rachel says, I was at the game in Vancouver. Naturally, the home crowd thought the goal was good. Can I get some clarification on that goalie interference challenge, please? So there's no question when you watch the replay back that Ratu makes contact with Aiden Hill in the blue paint. Ratu goes in on his own volition. He's not pushed in by a Vegas Golden Knight player. And because of that contact, he then makes contact with Aiden Hill. That was not the case. That didn't happen. He goes into the blue paint under his own accord, makes contact with Aiden Hill. Aiden is knocked backwards, off balance, and in my estimation, cannot reset to try to make a save. I don't necessarily know what the reasoning is as to why that was not called back for goalie interference, outside of the fact that the situation room said that there was not, that the contact between Ratu and Hill did not raise to the level of goalie interference. My guess is when you look at it, they're probably thinking there's not enough contact or true contact between Ratu and Hill to knock him off balance, put him in that position. I really don't know. I thought it was going to come back. I thought that goal was not going to stand, and I was wrong, mainly because it checked off the criteria for me. Does the player go in on his own? Yes. Does he make contact with the goaltender? Yes. Is he inside the blue paint when that contact is made? Yes. Does it prevent the goaltender from making a save or making a play on the puck? Yes. I thought all the necessary criteria were there, but that wasn't the case. So I wish I could give you more clarity on that, Rachel, but you know, I'm as surprised as you were that goal didn't come off the board. There was another text here as I get to it from Steven about talk around the league about the Knights moving significantly down in the power rankings due to the diminished play against the Oilers and Jets. Any thoughts on this? No, I don't care about the power rankings, to be honest with you. I don't think the Golden Knights are worried about it either. You look at the game against the Edmonton Oilers, it was really a tough stretch for about 7 or 8 minutes in the second period. Outside of that, I thought the Golden Knights were the better team. They just weren't able to beat Calvin Pickard. Beyond that, the Winnipeg game, they just weren't in sync. But like, that's the two setbacks that they've had over the last 10 games. Like, I rattled off the record for the Golden Knights, 8-2-0 in their last 10, 14-5-2 since Four Nations. If you can have that record and you're going to dip in the power rankings because you dropped two games when you're in the midst of a six-game win streak and you follow that up with another two-game win streak and you're looking for 3 and 4 and 5, then I don't know that I need to pay too much attention to what the power rankings are saying. I think the Golden Knights are a really good team. They've been a division leader pretty much wire to wire. They're going to do some damage in the playoffs. We'll take a break, wrap it up next on the VGK postgame show. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
Wrapping it up here on the VGK postgame show, the Golden Knights 3, Vancouver Canucks 2. Golden Knights improved to 47-22-8, 102 points on the year. Conclude this three-game road trip on Tuesday, 6:30 p.m. in Colorado against the Avalanche. An opportunity for the Golden Knights to sweep back-to-back three-game road trips, changing the narrative about the struggles to win on the road. I love that journey for the Vegas Golden Knights. Checking in on one more text. Robert says Carlson got three guys to commit and still slid a perfect pass right to the stick of Olofsson. Never get tired of seeing those smooth corner passes. I'm with you. Great play by Carlson. Motors up the ice. As you mentioned, kind of draws the attention to three guys. Shakes off Quinn Hughes. Perfect pass to Victor Olofsson. But where's Olofsson? Right in front of the net between the circles. reminiscent of where Riley Smith went to score on the deflection in yesterday's game against Calgary. That line, we know they can work in transition. But they have added a layer to their game in terms of creating in-zone offense. It was on display yesterday in Calgary. It was on display today in Vancouver. And it's the reason why the Golden Knights get 4 out of 4 points in this back-to-back set over the weekend. Good on Victor Olofsson, good on Riley Smith, and boy, oh boy, William Karlsson is a difference maker. That's going to do it for us here on the VGK postgame show. Extended postgame show, your phone calls, that's coming up next. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network postgame show, where the station's staying on for more game highlights, interviews, and your phone calls coming up next at 702-876-1340. Good night, and thanks for listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network. It's the extended Vegas Golden Knights postgame show on Fox Sports Las Vegas, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. Let your voice be heard by calling in at 702-876-1340. Now here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
Extended postgame show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, 3-2 the final. Golden Knights beat the Vancouver Canucks. Vegas improves to 47-22-8, 102 points on the year. Conclude this three-game road trip in Colorado on Tuesday. 702-876-1340 is the number. 702-876-1340. We have lines open right now. I know it's late. It's another long game. Another game where it's not dropping the puck. But bear with me. Pick up the phone, dial the number. If you're listening to my voice, if you're a fan of the Vegas Golden Knights, if you've stuck with us this far, pick up the phone, dial the number, 702-876-1340. Let's talk about a strong performance on the road again for the Vegas Golden Knights. 5 straight wins on the road for the Golden Knights. That's important. It's noteworthy for a lot of reasons, especially when you think about the playoffs, when you think about where this team intends to get to, you got to be able to win on the road. And the Golden Knights certainly did that and have done that over the last couple of weeks. 702-876-1340. Let's go out to the phone lines, bring in Mike. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Well, it's been quite a day, quite a day. It started at 10 o'clock this morning, and all of the pageantry around the Great Eight. I can tell you that I cried elephant tears when he put that puck in the back of the net, and it was probably the most emotion I felt since, I don't know, June 13 of 23. But it was an amazing moment, and I don't know what you find more amazing. I don't know what I find more amazing, but is it the fact that he's got 895 goals, or that in his 40th year on this planet, he has 42 goals in 61 games. That's insane. How does he do this?
I mean, he's a machine. I don't. Uh-huh. There's no other way to put it. Alex Ovechkin is a unicorn. He is a special player. The longevity, his ability to stay healthy largely for his entire career, has been remarkable. I think, to me, the fact that he got to 895 is impressive in and of itself, but the fact that he did it in a season where he scored 42 goals as a 39-year-old, that just makes it a little bit more dramatic and a little bit more Ovechkin. He put his stamp on breaking this record his way, and you know, I think that warrants some accolades in and of itself, because you know, a lot of guys, some guys would probably stick around for 2 or 3 or 4 more years chipping away 8 or 9 goals here or there just to kind of get there. That wasn't Ovechkin, and he's got a real chance to surpass this, the likes of which we never really even fathomed could anyone could surpass this milestone.
quickly on that note, is there anyone around today that could get 1,000 goals? Is there a McDavid or a Matthews or somebody you think could make it?
I think if you're looking at the most likely active player right now that could break Ovechkin's record, it would be Austin Matthews. Their career trajectories, based on what Matthews has already done, are very similar. But again, you need the longevity and you need the health. And, you know, we'll see in about 10 or 15 years.
Well, as far as the BGK concerned, I'm really excited about 4 points in this weekend series. I think it was exceptionally well done against two very desperate teams. I do want to show up on Tuesday night and play well against Colorado, because we've got to beat a Western Conference team that's going to be in the playoffs. And I want to do that. I'll feel better when we do it. I know they don't need to do it, but I'd like them to do it.
So the wins earlier against Edmonton, the wins earlier against Winnipeg.
Well, again, in the last couple of weeks, it's been 8-2, and the two losses are against playoff teams.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
I'm not panicking. I mean, there's no reason to, because I know the kids will play very well when the time is right. Mm-hmm. But it still would be nice to beat, say, a Colorado, and then go in and put your stamp on that game. If we do or we don't, we're still going to be a tough out in May. I know that. So whatever happens, happens. But I would love to see us beat a playoff team instead of two teams that aren't going anywhere. But that's okay. Like I say, it's too early to be 12-0. That's the only thing I know for sure. I wouldn't want to be 12-0 right now. So we'll see what happens to them. But anyway, we'll listen very carefully on to the Colorado game. And I want to warn everyone that it is on ESPN again. So we need to listen to Dan Duva.
Yep, great stuff there, Mike. Thanks so much for the call. I appreciate it. 702-876-1340 is the number. Let's go out to the phone lines, bring in Tony. Hey, Tony, how you doing?
Doing pretty good tonight. Enjoyed the win. Another character win, if you want to use that term, because I didn't see the guys giving up on the game. They were putting in all the work that needed to be done. I think Adin Hill once again bailed out his defenseman. Every time it seemed like he lost his footing, they lost sight of the puck, and that's what caused us to get the scores. But when he was on solid footing and he was making the stops, I think goalie interference anymore is more or less is a subjective theory anymore. You should just take a coin and call heads or tails, and that's how you're going to decide whether it's goalie interference. I'm also wondering, what do you think, if maybe Jack squeezed in a stick a little tighter tonight? He had a couple of attempts there that any other time, those are sticking out the back of the net.
Yeah, that's a good question, Tony. Thanks for the call. I think in terms of Jack Eichel, I don't know that he's squeezing the stick a little bit too tight. I think he wants to make an impact every single time he's on the ice, and you know, now it's 4 games in a row for Jack without a point. It's first time this season that he's gone more than 2 games without a point. So, you know, from that perspective, it's just not really aligning for him right now. But you mentioned it. He had great chances. I get worried and concerned when good players aren't getting quality chances. And he ripped one as flush off the bar as you could possibly rip one. And you're right to point out that, you know, earlier on in the year or earlier on in the season or even in the month of March, that one hits the bar and goes in. Unfortunately, tonight for Jack, it hit the bar and went out. I think he'll be fine. He's going to explode for offense. We know what he's capable of. I don't know that it's squeezing the stick too tight outside of the fact that he's just not getting the bounces right now. And, you know, sometimes that's the way it happens in hockey. 702-876-1340. That's the number. Let's go back out to the phone lines, bring in Stephanie. Hey, Stephanie, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Ryan?
I'm good.
So I was glad to see tonight and, of course, yesterday. Tonight's getting back to not getting rattled, right, when the other team gets up on a goal, gets a goal up on us or ties it. And, you know, honestly, I think it's good to be in these close games, getting ready for the playoffs, right? We're fighting really, really desperate teams. And when you get to the playoffs, every team is going to be playing, you know, desperate, right? They want to win. Every single game counts once you get into the playoffs. So getting some of that action and mentality on the way into the playoffs is good.
Yeah, it's never a bad thing to have tight games, really. Like, it's never a bad thing to be a little bit uncomfortable in a game or to, you know, to dig deep or be in a tied game late in the third period to see how you handle it. I'm right there with you.
And then, like I said it, I think I said it on Monday that, you know, VGK doesn't lose challenges, and now we've lost two. Mm-hmm. I understand the other one, but the one tonight, like, it's one that I look at and I'm like, I don't understand. And even reading like the explanations that have been put out, I don't understand it. Like, I hate how unclear goaltender interference is. Like, it's so hard as a fan, mm-hmm, to look at it and not understand. Like, with a high stick, right, if they call the double minor, and you can see it, like, either it drew blood or it didn't, either it was his stick or it wasn't. But with goaltender interference, it's like, well, I think that's what I think, but who knows how it's actually going to turn out.
Yeah, that's a good question. It's a really difficult topic to kind of dissect and dig too much into. Thank you, Stephanie, for the call. I'll touch on goalie interference in just a couple of minutes, because I think for the most part, we know what we're looking for. It's when there's inconsistency on the calls or upholding or taking away or whatever the case may be, where the confusion comes in. So we'll dig into that in just a couple of minutes. But let's get back out of the phone line, 702-876-1340. We have lines open right now if you want to call in and have a conversation. John, you're up. Hey, John, how you doing?
I am wonderful. Nice victory tonight. I just wanted to interject about the goalie interference. A lot of people think that it's, you know, subjective, this type of thing. What happened is the guy came into the blue area. Hill reached out and tried to push him, initiated the contact, and then he couldn't really push him and he fell backwards. And so that's why the call went against us on that.
Yeah, I don't know that I see it that way, because Aiden Hill's reaching out with his glove to try to make a save.
Okay, there wasn't a shot yet. I did it in super slow-mo on
the
TV.
The puck is coming in. Yeah, the puck is coming in. Aiden's trying to make a save on the puck with his glove as the contact is initiated by Ratu. So, like, I understand the line of thinking, and I can see why if you're slowing it down. And maybe that's the case. Maybe that's the justification.
That's what they probably did.
Right.
In Toronto.
But
anyway,
to me,
one more comment.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, today I was sitting around the house working, and some of my Dallas Star friends called, and they were complaining. I just thought it was really comical. They were complaining that as their team is playing, the announcers kept talking about how great Jack Eichel was. And I just thought that was, they were so pissed off, they had to call me to complain about the announcers talking about how great Jack is. So I thought that was worthy of sharing with everybody.
Yeah, that's great stuff, John. Thanks so much for the call. I appreciate it. Jack Eichel's a really good hockey player. So I'll take that all day long. 702-876-1340. That's the number. We're going to take more of your phone calls on the other side of the break. It's the Extended Postgame Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Back to your calls on the Extended Vegas Golden Knights Postgame Show. Here's Ryan Wallace.
Extended Postgame Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, 3-2 the final. The Golden Knights dispatch the Vancouver Canucks 5-game win streak on the road for the Vegas Golden Knights. Have a chance to sweep another 3-game road trip on Tuesday at Colorado. 702-876-1340. If you'd like to join us here, that's the number. Let's go out to the phone lines, bring in Jake. Hey, Jake, how you doing?
Good, Ryan. How you doing tonight?
I'm good.
Love to hear it. It's just good to see the Golden Knights play against teams that are not named Edmonton or Los Angeles. I mean, I read earlier today we had a record of 13-0-1 going into this game. Moved that to 14 now. Basic question I have for you today is, with just a couple games left in the season and a really close lead over Los Angeles in the standings, what does the Vegas Golden Knights need to do to clinch the Pacific Division here in a couple of weeks' time?
I mean, they just have to keep winning, right? Like, they have right now it's a 5-point lead over LA. I feel like 108 points is pretty reasonable in terms of locking up the division for the Golden Knights. They've got 102, so, you know, that's 6 more points either gained or lost by Vegas or LA. So, you know, to me, it could be as simple as 3 more wins, but I think 108 points gets it done in terms of winning the division. I think, you know, for the Golden Knights, you're looking at 3 wins, some combination thereof, and you get it. So that's kind of what I'm looking at.
I like that. I mean, that's what I'm looking for, and I just think at the end of the day, this team is really coming together. I know you've probably seen the same as well. As long as we get Tomas Hertl back fairly soon, I really have a good feeling that we can lock this up soon, and I'm ready for the playoffs. How about you?
Yeah, I am for sure, Jake. Thanks so much for the call. I appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, Hurdle's on the trip. Not sure if he's going to play on Tuesday, but if he's able to go, that would be awesome for the Vegas Golden Knights, because, again, I think that they've found the combination for their third line with Olofsson, Carlson, and Smith. You know Hurdle's going to go back with Saad and Dorofeev, and that just makes the Golden Knights a deeper team. Let's go back out to the phone lines, bring in Sal. Hey, Sal, how you doing?
Doing well. For the two question for you, but first, like, my observation from this game is, well, from this mini road trip, was that the Knights are now 6-0 in their 3 back-to-backs since their worst back-to-back I've ever seen them play. It only seemed like it was last week that they played 2 really bad results against Detroit and Buffalo, and since then they won basically all 6 games in their back-to-backs in a matter of 2.5 weeks. So I congratulate them that they can turn it around that quickly, because I was losing a little bit of confidence in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, it's good on them for doing that. It's rare you're going to see a back-to-back scenario in the playoffs. So, you know, it's good that they've been able to get the points, pull the points out of those 3 back-to-backs. You still got a couple. You still got 1 back-to-back left in the regular season, and it's ironically the same back-to-back they just concluded. It's Calgary-Vancouver. So looking for another 4 points out of that back-to-back at the end of the year.
Do they end the season that way?
Yep, they do.
That's interesting that they would give teams back-to-back in the regular season, but hopefully it doesn't affect much. And then my question for you, so I remember last season how absolutely loaded the Eastern Conference was, and now I feel like it's completely flipped, and this is the most loaded, toughest Western Conference I think I've ever seen since the Knights became a franchise. What do you think?
Yeah, it's hard to argue that. I mean, Colorado, Winnipeg, Dallas, really, really good. LA has taken a step up in my eyes this year. I know Edmonton is faltered a bit lately, but it's still McDavid and Draisaitl relatively healthy in the playoffs. It's hard to bet against those guys. You know, obviously St. Louis, they've won 12 games in a row. Is that going to last forever? No, but still a really deep team and well coached, and you know, Minnesota's probably the weak link in terms of that roster of 8, but Kirill Kaprizov coming back would change things drastically for them as well.
Yeah, I wouldn't be any bit surprised to see any of the top 3 teams in either division not only make the cup, but win it, because they all have certain strengths that stick out amongst the 32 teams. Like every team in the West does something better than any other team aside from them. So it's going to be, I'm only thankful that the Central is going to beat each other up before, you know, hopefully Vegas makes it to the West Finals and then they only have to beat one of them, but we'll see.
Yeah. Good stuff there, Sal, on the call. Appreciate it. Thank you very much for that. Take a break, and we will wrap things up next on the Extended Post Game Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Back to your calls on the Extended Vegas Golden Knights Post Game Show. Here's Ryan Wallace.
Wrapping it up here on the Extended Post Game Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, 3-2 the final. The Golden Knights defeat the Vancouver Canucks. Next in action Tuesday, 6:30 p.m. in Colorado against the Avalanche. Vegas 47-22-8, 102 points on the year. 5 points up on the Los Angeles Kings, 9 points up on the Edmonton Oilers. So it's a good start to the road trip for the Golden Knights. They want to end it on a high note with a victory in Colorado. That would be back-to-back sweeps of 3-game road trips, and it would be another step in the right direction for the Golden Knights in locking up the division. Still think they do it. I still think 108 points probably gets it done, but we'll see how things shake out over the final 6 games of the regular season. That's going to do it for us here on the Extended Post Game Show. Thanks to Bobby Machado back in the studio keeping us on the air, and thanks to you, our listeners, our callers, our texters. It is your post-game show. It's not as much fun for me without your calls, your texts, and your input. Until Tuesday, have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you then right here on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Thanks for listening to the Extended Golden Knights post-game show on Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. Your home for the Vegas Golden Knights. Have a good night and drive safe.